On September 16th, 1620, there were two ships that left Plymouth, England, on their way to the New World. One of them was the Mayflower. Who knows what the name of the second ship was? Be quiet, this section here, because we spoke about it already. Anybody? What was the name of the second ship? Pinta, the Maria, no. That's okay, I wouldn't have known it either, except that I have it written down up here. The name of the second ship was the Speedwell. So on September 16, 1620, two ships set sail from Plymouth, England, the Speedwell and the Mayflower. However, the Speedwell encountered a lot of problems. They had leaks that were taking place. And so the 42 passengers from the Speedwell, they joined the 60 passengers and the 30 crew aboard the Mayflower. Of those 102 passengers on board the Mayflower, the majority of them were devout Christians. They were heading to America to shake loose from the bonds of the Church of England so that they could worship God as they believed that Scripture's taught. And with great excitement and expectation, they set sail for the new land. It wasn't long before their trip became difficult for several reasons. As noted by William Bradford, who was a historian who was actually aboard the Mayflower, many of the passengers became seasick as huge waves would crash over the deck of the ship. The nights were cold, damp, and dark. Remember that there was no indoor plumbing and no electricity, not like we have on our cruise ships today. But their problems were far from over. They encountered many fierce storms which shook the ship with tremendous force, so fierce that many times they could not even keep the sails out. Eventually, the winds cracked the main beam and bowed the beam. They just reached the halfway point across the Atlantic. And although the passengers and the crew wanted to turn back, Christopher Jones, who was the ship's master, assured them all that the vessel was strong and firm underwater. He ordered that the beam be secured, and as the crew was actually securing and strengthening this beam, they committed themselves to the will of God, and they resolved to proceed. These 130 people, cold and wet, on a wooden ship, in the middle of the ocean, they put their hopes, their trust, and their lives into the hands of God. The battered ship, the Mayflower, it finally came within sight of Cape Cod on November 19th, 1620, roughly 60 days after they began their journey. Before going ashore, they decided to write a document that became known as the Mayflower Compact. At the heart of the compact lay an undisputed conviction that God must be at the center of all law and order, and that any law without a moral base is really no law at all. Now, the day that the pilgrims signed the Mayflower Compact, according to William Bradford, they came to anchor in the bay, which was a good harbor, and they blessed the God of heaven who brought them over the furious and fast ocean and a sea of trouble. And then they read from the Geneva Bible, the Bible that the pilgrims actually used, and they read, "Let them therefore praise the Lord, because he is good, and his mercies endure forever." Now, we usually picture the first Thanksgiving in America as the time when the pilgrims and the Indians, they get together for a great feast. But doesn't it make sense that on the sea-battered Mayflower, anchored in the bay at Cape Cod, a group of weary and worn men and women were on their knees praising their God in heaven for bringing them safely through the treacherous sea to this new land? Doesn't it make sense that that there is the real first Thanksgiving? Now, how many of you, if you're like me, after Thanksgiving, you just want to plop down in a chair and go, "Ah, yeah." Thanksgiving is this kind of funny holiday. It's somehow relaxing and tiring all at the same time. between cooking and eating and catching up with friends and family, and now Black Friday, which is even extended into Black Thursday for some people, it's enough to energize you and wear you out all at the same time, just in a matter of a few days. I know when Lisa and I first moved to the States, we lived in Vallejo, California. We were working with Pastor Robert, and his brother, Pastor Steve, lived in Red Bluff, which is just a few hours away. And we would get in our cars as early as we could on Wednesday, and we'd drive to Red Bluff. We'd play in a basketball game on Wednesday evening, get up Thursday morning and start cooking food and preparing. And then a bunch of us would take off for the annual Igarta Bowl. 3 hours of football out in the wet rain, sometimes the snow, and we just play football. Then we'd go back and we'd see if through this weekend we had there, if we could squeeze in some more basketball or maybe some tennis or some volleyball, seeing how much we could cram into a two-day span there. But in the middle of the day, we would stop and the food would, the smell of the food would just be covering the house and start being spread out. It was just a great time of getting together and seeing what we could do. Of course, there is always the adult table and the kids' table. Isn't it kind of funny that when you're a kid, you want to sit at the adult table, and then when you're an adult, you want to try to make your way back to the kids' table? We tend to eat more than our share of food, and then we kick back for a couple hours and then try to eat even more. It's a magical couple days of the year. Do you know that Merriam-Webster Online? It actually defines Thanksgiving as a public acknowledgement of divine goodness. Did you catch that? A public acknowledgement of divine goodness. It's easy for us at Thanksgiving each year to offer our thanks for family and friends, for safety and security, for health and happiness. But do we so often make a public acknowledgement of the divine goodness that is in our lives? You know, the fount of our blessings, our source, and our provider. How can we thank God enough? Do you know that Paul asked that of the early church in Thessalonica? When we really pause to think about all that God has done for us, how can we thank God enough? Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. If you want, you can follow along. They'll be up here. It says, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Now, I don't know if you know who Alex Haley is. He comes from East Tennessee and he's the author of Roots. Some of you may know that, Kunta Kinte. He had an unusual picture hanging on the wall in his office. It was a picture of a turtle that was mounted up on top of a fence post. And when he was asked why it was there, his response was, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and I think that they are wonderful, and I begin to feel proud of myself, I look over at the turtle on top of that fence post, and I remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help. You see, we are here, each one of us, we are here today because God has brought us here. We are blessed because through Jesus Christ, God's abundant grace has poured out on us. It's so easy for us to forget about the blessings in our lives. It's so easy for us to say, woe is me. One of the great mistakes in life is to turn to God only when overpowering emergencies or these shattering crises take place. It's easy for many of us to curse God, to blame God when Catastrophe strikes us. But we have things upside down. We live in a fallen world. We all sin. And yet, by the grace of God, we still have the good times. We still have the good things in our lives. Where would we be without the help of the Lord? Without the goodness of the Lord? Without the love and the faithfulness of our Savior? See, we can try to live without God's help, but it's really an impossible assignment. See, Thanksgiving is about more than family gatherings and cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, stuffing, turkey. You can almost smell it, can't you? As a matter of fact, we can. Oh, it's strong over here. It's about more than that. It's about recognizing and proclaiming what our Savior has done for us. And how can we thank God enough for that? One of the great and wonderful things about this time of year is that this Thanksgiving season, it actually ushers in Advent. Advent affords us an even more special opportunity to really reflect on how we offer our thanksgiving to God. The word Advent, it actually comes from a Latin verb, advenere, which means to come toward, to draw near, to approach. This is the time when we remember and we celebrate God's drawing near to us in Jesus Christ. We certainly celebrate God's goodness, God's nearness to us in Jesus Christ through our worship and our prayers, lifting praise to God. But even greater thanksgiving and celebration of God's coming in Jesus Christ is our constant efforts to draw nearer to God, Christ Jesus, ourselves. As Christmas approaches, and it's coming fast, and as a time that we again celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, we are reminded that we have to prepare ourselves to meet God. And preparing to meet God means living daily with Him. Getting into the Word and allowing His Word to get into us. See, this is the underlying message of the passage that I read a few moments ago from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. That through love of God and one another, we might increase in holiness and be found blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to look to God and rely on God in all things, just as sailors did in days gone by when they relied on the stars to chart their course. And just as a really good sailor, a skilled sailor, can hone his navigational skills to near perfection, we too can grow in our likeness to Christ and our nearness to God as we seek more fervently God's direction for our lives. And striving always to get closer to God and to Jesus Christ. Now, even as we work ourselves at drawing nearer to God, we can also grow in this Advent season and show our thanksgiving to God by proclaiming God's goodness and seeking to bring others into God's presence. See, a great part of thanking God enough is sharing the good news of God's grace and love with the people that we know beyond these walls, the people around us that we work with, that we go to school with, that maybe we play with. You know how it is. When something great happens, we want to share the wonderful news with all these people we know and even some people we don't know. It happens on Facebook all the time. This should be no less true of God's blessings in our lives. Actually, it should even be more true. When God is good to us, we should be sharing it with everyone around. There was a man who served as a medical missionary for many years in India. He served in an area where there was progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision, but there was something in that area that caused them to lose their sight as they matured. Well, this medical missionary, he developed a process that would actually stop this progressive blindness. So people would come to him, and he performed his operation, and they would leave realizing that they would have become blind. But now they were going to be able to see for the rest of their lives. Now the people, they never ever said thank you. It wasn't a phrase that was in their dialect. What they did instead was they spoke a word that meant, I will tell your name. So wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. They had received something so wonderful that they eagerly proclaimed it. Now, haven't we also received something so wonderful that we should eagerly proclaim it? God has been so good to us, and God loves us so much. And if we really want to thank God, we just can't keep that wonderful news inside of us. We have to go and tell the name of Jesus in the world. Especially in this Advent season. Especially as Christmas approaches. So how can we thank God enough? We thank God by living as God would have us to live. By worshiping and praising. By studying God's word. By communicating with God through prayer. We thank God by preparing our hearts and seeking to draw nearer to God as God in Christ Jesus draws nearer to us. Not just at this Advent season for a few weeks here, but all year long. We thank God by sharing the message of God's great love, which has transformed us and has blessed us. We thank God by serving others in the name of Christ and by bringing others nearer to God through our witness and through our lights that shine. We thank God by anticipating with great joy the day when we will celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, when Jesus Christ comes back and young and old alike will lift their voices in praises to God. I started this morning, telling you about the pilgrims and their journey from England to America, the new land. Well, William Bradford, he was actually elected the governor of the township, and he served for 33 years. Listen to his Thanksgiving proclamation. Inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams. And inasmuch as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, okay, it's not politically correct, all right? Has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill. It just sounds funny, doesn't it? Between the hours of 9 and 12 on the daytime on Thursday, November 29th, the year of our Lord 1623. Some of you are doing the math real quick, I know. It is the third year since the pilgrims landed on ye pilgrim rock. There to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye almighty God for all his blessings. 3 years after they have landed. And this proclamation comes out saying that they should all gather together and offer thanksgiving to God for all he has done. So what we're going to do this morning before we go downstairs is the worship team is going to come up and lead us in a time of worship, of singing thanks to God, and then we are going to give you a time to share something that you are thankful for. And I've left a spot there on the handout, hopefully where you can fill in something if you think about it. So would you join us as we offer thanksgiving to God for His goodness?